Howdy, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to Street Fight Radio. I'm glad you're here. We do this every single week, three times a week. You can get it on iTunes, SoundCloud, and any of the Android podcasting apps. We are here to soothe your worrisome heads about the incoming fascism and what we can do to fight back. We are here to make you laugh and provide you a little bit of levity for those of you though that are out there in the streets trying to push your way in for a little bit of change. We're here just to let people know that the heartland gets down. You know, Columbus, Ohio, where we broadcast from every single week on WCRS, is regular degular people out here, and we are also radical as fuck and ready to move things beyond the hateful world that they're trying to put upon all of us, and can hope that one little radio show here in the 614 area code will one day affect massive change to a non-hierarchical, horizontally organized global party of people that get shit done and look good while they're doing it, and party more than work. It's a very simple request. All power to all people. As always, my name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. We've been doing it 6 years, and it's only getting better, man. That Chicago show was a success.
It was. It was great. It was very good. I'm encouraged, and we're just going to keep hitting the fucking road until we're making a living wage doing this, just like Woody Guthrie. And our next show's in Pittsburgh at Spirit. It's on March 19th at 5 o'clock, and with special guests, Chapo Trap House and Johnny Is Good. That is fucking fire lineup. Jesus, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, expect a whole bunch of screaming going on. There's going to be hooting and hollering. It'll be amazing. But I do have to say that I love that Chicago audience, man. They really came out for us, and I appreciate all the shots of Malort that I got afterwards. That was huge. I can't believe I didn't wake up with a hangover the next day. I guess that's the charm of Malort.
We've been sleeping. We also slept until almost noon.
That was nice.
Before we left. Yeah.
We're doing all work here. We didn't get a chance to do anything fun that really was just like working. We stayed in the hotel. We didn't even get our rooms cleaned. And we just worked out the show. So thank you to everybody that came out. Thank you to Chuck. Thank you to Arish. Thank you to Lindsay for being there. I'm working on editing the video sometime this weekend. For those of you that want to get it, patreon.com is the way to do so. patreon.com/streetfightradio. You sign up for a $5 a month pledge, you'll get access to our live videos. We also offer cool things like Kratom and our zine, which is now out in the Street Fight store, store.streetfightradio.com. Get in there.
Yeah. So you said we're coming from the heartland, right? That's how you started the show.
That's how I feel about it. I wear my heart behind the pocket of my shirt.
Yeah. And like heartland where the cows are, basically.
Yeah, corn you and know? Shit.
That's where all your corn comes from. You're lucky you get to eat corn because it comes from right here in the heartland. Your beef comes from here. Well, Texas, but close enough, you know? Yeah. We're right there. We also beef farm here, okay?
Yeah, people do beef shit here. There's microgreens, too.
One of the things that's happening here that is unavoidable, especially I think Brett and I, you know, operate in a world where this gets in our face a little bit more. And I just did a show with Dank Metal about some of this subject, too. And that's heroin. We live in heroin country, and like it's dire. I don't know a lot of people who it hasn't touched. Right. You would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean it is a part of what happens when you. It's so hard to address, but it is a very regular part of life. I've known more than a handful of people that have died from it. I still see status updates on my Facebook from people.
It's intense. Facebook is fucking intense. For me, at least. Like, that's what I'm getting to now, too, is a post just showed up 6 hours ago today from somebody I used to hang with.
I went to a funeral earlier this year, not for me, but for a relation to my family. So it was like, it's just like clockwork, man. It's sad. It sucks.
You're right. You're in the middle of it. And it feels to other people, I think sometimes it might just feel like a news story, but it's so real how often I come in contact with it. Am I rare? A lot of our Facebook is just people we went to high school with. That's who's going to be on your Facebook page, because that's who you went and found the first day you got it.
Exactly.
You know?
Need some safe friends.
And like, I've seen people die, obviously. We just lost somebody recently in the last month. And I open up Facebook today, and this is the type of, I see this type of status update once a week. And you were telling me you see certain recovery ones that but this is one that really gets to me, okay? This hurts to do this. Since 2012, I've been using heroin to cope with the everyday life a lot of my peers take pleasure in doing, which is, nobody's taking pleasure, dude. You know, I got to tell you that, it's miserable for everybody right now.
Well, that's the problem, though. I mean, we're stuck because social media does look like people are living their like alpha life.
Yes,
that's what they're showing off. And understand it, and I agree. I mean, I'm on that side with that. It's like, I mean, this, I'm not okay with. I mean, I'm not happy with this. I mean, I have a lot of really nerdy political reasons why and ethical reasons why, but I certainly don't like waking up every day to this shit that's going on.
Yeah.
I don't think there should be any joy in what we're doing every day. I've spent 6 years complaining about how miserable daily life is. So I'm right there with him.
Right. Yeah. But you're right, though. It looks like, I mean, every indication is that everything's going well, even though three people I know have died from heroin in the past 365 days.
No. But today somebody spewed out three paragraphs about how their daughter was playing with the pastaroni. So now their life is perfect. You know what I mean?
But yes, absolutely. Like
you spend the time to do that, to prove it. If you take enough pictures at places, you can prove that you're happy.
Yeah.
It's more objective now.
Yeah. Basically, this person's reaching out. He's been 4 years, 5 years on heroin.
Which is tough. I mean, most people make it a decade before they ask.
Sometimes. He missed his daughter's teenage years. He says she's 18 now. He's just in a very precarious position because he's basically at a point where it's either he's going to die or he's going to go get looked at. You know what I mean? Here's the issue. I don't think he can afford to go to rehab. Like right now, he's reaching out to the world and saying, I need to go to rehab. And like, there's just no resource to come and get him and take him there. You know what I mean? Like, that's all he needs right now. If we could get him in the building right now,
well,
that's a good step.
Yeah, we need like Dr. Jeff Van Vonderen from the intervention show. Like, we need that motherfucker on speed dial. Like, we need to be like a public service.
I wish I could make a phone number that was just like people like you and I and other people who will come and pick you up and take you somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, you having trouble? Like a drug counselor, which we've always said. But just, there's nobody to call. Jerron Thomas called the police about something that had to do with drugs, and he's dead now.
A little too geeked out on coke. I know all the TV shows are about bad guys that did it, but it doesn't make you that dangerous.
Right, yeah. So this is a story that came up earlier in the week in Ohio. A Southwest County community is trying to fight the heroin epidemic by bringing a misdemeanor charge against drug users who are revived by an emergency responders using an overdose antidote. Chief Brian Hottinger says Washington Courthouse Police in February began citing people with inducing panic if responders revive them with naloxone. The misdemeanor charge is punishable by up to 180 days in jail and a $1,000 fine.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, if anything I can do is keep spreading the word that punishing people like this does not help at all.
Right.
Like you've now marked them. Like, here's the thing. The problem is that all of the people in charge tell themselves that they're so benevolent and Christian or welcoming or, you know, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, they judge the shit out of somebody that has some charges, you know, like, well, I'm not going to hire them, you know, and that's regular folks are doing that.
Yeah, and the thing is, city attorney Mark Pitsick tells WSYX-TV the strategy is aimed at not at jailing more people, but at giving authorities a way to track who has overdosed and offer them help. They are always trying to say that they arrest people to help them. That is, but we put people in jail because they need to detox.
Yeah, it's bullshit, man. It's bullshit. And it's exactly what we, the problem is that the only thing we can do is punish. There is no progressivism in our society when it comes to that. We are a law and order society, and the only thing that we offer is more pits of spikes if you keep fucking up.
Why are they tracking it? They're not, you can't, if $1,000 fine isn't helping anybody. Okay? Like that, nobody's helped by that.
Right.
And they're not, they're using drugs. They, I don't know. You can't, can you start charging people for having the ambulance come to your house? That's fucking incredible. That if you call the ambulance in this place, there's a good chance you could get fined or 180 days in jail. So, you know, it says that the people who call 911 don't get charged with it, but I'm sure they trust that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's man, that's unfortunate. And it is like it costs so much money to get help. That's the problem, is that I was skimming some story about opioid use in West Virginia, and they were saying that all the money has ran out for burials because people are overdosing, and there's like a public fund for poor folks that can't afford to bury somebody that can apply, and the government will throw like $1,000 at them to get them a place to bury a loved one. And it's just been used up, and that's all. But they definitely have money to bury you. If they have to bury you, they will, but they can't put any of that money towards helping you out with your problem.
I mean, how much worse would it be to make the drugs available for the people that want them? How much worse would it be, really, than it is right now, where people are, it's happening in the dark and people are dying.
Yeah.
And
The other thing is they don't spend any money. Like, even healthcare doesn't cover it. There's been times when I've felt crazy enough to go to a doctor, but I just don't have coverage for it, and it's going to cost $150 an hour. I understand I can do a lot of research and get something, but the point is that there is an impediment to all of this stuff, and it's just backwards. It's only to be mean. It's only to punish. It's only to do law and order bullshit. It doesn't help anybody. Like, if we were just taking, because there are a lot of folks, and I have dealt with people, you know, that have died in the last year. I've also see a lot of people that are recovering and that have a family members that swooped in and took them away in a fucking Land Rover and sent them to Florida, and now they're doing fine, you know. And it's like that there is kind of a solution to a lot of these problems. From what I've seen, who gets out better in the end, it's the one that has the most money.
Well, yeah. Money. I mean, counseling. I think it's really about counseling. It's not about drug rehab.
It is.
Necessarily, because I didn't come out clean, you know, but I'm pretty together. I do well for myself. I just use drugs too. I like drugs too.
Yeah, I think that's the disconnect is that we have such a puritanical society that thinks of things that drugs cause. It's like really, it's just this, they think it's like the Quran thing. It's like the Quran makes you into a terrorist. Drugs turn you into a criminal. You know what I mean? But most people are using drugs. A lot of people are using drugs pretty regularly and doing just fine on them.
The Communist Manifesto turns you into a communist.
There's these just potions and agents and thoughts and things that will poison you. Yeah, and drugs is on that list. And it's unfair because we have to listen to the opinions of people that have never done it before and never came off of them.
Or who freaked out on them. I'm still convinced that some of the more anti-drug raiders are ones that had bad experiences on drugs. Sure. You know, I mean, imagine you're that uptight and then you try drugs. It's gonna mess with you.
Yeah, you're going to act a little bit weird and end up showing your those goddamn, you have the braces for your socks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh.
You, your pants will, you'll split your pants or something while you're fucked up. And instead of just laughing about it, you'll be bitter about it forever like Jeff Sessions.
Well, that's one of the things I like is the new psychiatry is like, or, you know, psychiatrists are trying to get to a point where they can use mushrooms and LSD for treatment.
Yeah.
And fucking, if a psychiatrist told Jeff Sessions to take LSD, that he would take it. You know what I mean? Like, he and like, what does it look like? What does it look like when you're Jeff Sessions on LSD? What does it do to a uptight person like that? Because most of them avoid the shit out of drugs.
I mean, there's lots of bad people still do drugs and just get more ingrained in like their horrible thoughts.
Do you think bad people do LSD and don't come out changed in the end?
Fucked me up so bad, dude. I mean, I was like so on point to be the biggest conservative asshole you could ever meet, and like my whole world was flipped upside down.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that, man. It really does. It once you take your, you can't not. I don't know. Maybe it makes other people more selfish, though. Maybe it's like, man, this fucking, you know,
I'm a part of it all. I'm God. My hands create, and what I want, I can take because it's all mine. Because I'm God. You know.
Yeah.
They
no
get,
more.
They get way too into themselves about it.
Let's allow. We could, they could do that, right? We could
make them take acid. I think we all should. I think that's a damn good question. If you're going to legislate on it, you got to do it.
Why don't we do it on
the stuff I talk about? I've done all the stuff I talk about.
Why don't we do it on the 4th of July? Like, why doesn't the, like, okay, we got till the 4th of July.
Freedoms, baby. It's freedom.
We got till the 4th of July. The government will mail every adult 18 and up, will mail them a hit of acid. And you don't got to take it, but most of the people are going to be taking it.
Sure, sure, sure.
And we see what happens that the next day everything changes, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hopes. I mean, I think it is possible. We just can't pull it off. It is conceivable. I think it would do the trick. But it is, I just don't see the point of all of us getting together and doing a government when, like, my fucking family members are real fucked up on drugs, man. I know yours are too. The rich ones, even more, they got more money to do it, man.
Right.
You know, like everybody's fucking family is fucked up on some drugs real bad. And like they don't need to just be thrown in jail and fined. It doesn't help because it doesn't help. It does help the oligarchs. It helps the people in charge because second class citizens make them money.
Yes.
Like now that somebody has a, you know, and, you worked at a restaurant where, and you wrote about it in the zine, a guy literally abused the shit out of them because they had records and he could scream whatever the fuck he wanted at them because they were just thankful as hell to have a regular check.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've done the same thing. I mean, I've been at the same, I've done the same work. There was a goddamn kid that did so much drugs, he went into a coma and shit and came back like different. And that dude made fun of him, like just made fun of how stupid he was and shit. And the guy put computers together fine. Like he was hard to talk to. He stuttered. He had a stutter, but he knew how to do computers fine as hell. And like my boss was just the biggest piece of shit. And it's the same with the guys in the back. They were, you know, had felons and shit, had went for like assault, fighting somebody and going to a private prison in Texas, man. And that guy just held it over their heads, man. It's not helpful. I mean, I'm just not willing. This is where I'm not willing to be. I don't think I'm not one of those 33-year-olds that thinks they're like a grandpa or anything, but I am a goddamn adult and I'm in charge of somebody else. And I'm not willing to have conversations with folks if they don't address like what's going on here. You know, these people have a lack of resources and support, and we might as well just do that instead of spending a whole bunch of time trying to beat that problem away and ignoring it. You
chasing
know?
Them around with guns and sticks.
Yeah.
Hey, you stop that. You stop them drugs. I would knock it out of his hand if I could. I'd knock that needle out of his hand if I could.
Yeah, and you know, man, the thing about it is like the heavy drugs, man, are like I always feel going out to swim at night, man. You go too far out to swim at night and then it's just over and it's like you spend your time, you don't have anybody reaching out and you don't have anybody connect to, and it gets real lonely.
Most of your family cuts you off when you get to the really dangerous points, like where you're getting close to OD. Like a lot of these people have been cut off, and the only thing that's out there, the only thing that we should be there for them as a society.
And they're fucking hard to deal with. I mean, terrible to deal with people, too. Well,
that's what I'm explaining. We as a society should be there for them because they've burned everybody else in their life. You can't expect the people they burned to take care of them. That's unrealistic. And we need to be there for we need to be there.
Yeah.
We as a society need to be there.
That's a Christian thing to do. It's the damn Christian thing to do is to just, because...
They need people who don't know them to take care of them. Yes. It's the real point, okay?
Exactly.
They've alienated everybody in their lives. They're fucking lonely. They've probably stolen from everybody in their lives. They've probably done every type of thing. So
we're not.
They need people like us.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
They need someone to talk to. I mean, they need someone to talk to. They need, like you said, a support and some sort of help. And, you know, I think actually on a little bit of a tangent here, I saw a damn tweet where someone said that, like, the Sanders free college would be about, like, $19 billion more than the $54 billion that Trump was talking about raising the army. And I'm like, God damn it, don't say that shit out loud, because then it feels doable.
Yeah.
When they're like, you can get college for $70 billion, I'm like, I read about people losing $70 billion all goddamn day long. Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah.
That's the same with this healthcare situation we're in, is we spend too much time outsourcing it to the fucking police and making money off fines and shit, when we could just literally pay doctors and nurses to do their fucking talent. That you meet any doctor or nurse, they just are into that shit. They want to see what it looks like inside of you, and they will fucking take tools to your body to fix you and shit. Like, it's not a matter of money. Like, even our healthcare system now, how many of our athletes and people go overseas to get, like, the cutting edge shit? There's no cutting edge football shit that's allowed to happen in the United States, man. Those people over in Germany getting all that. You know, what's his name? The guy, the idiot from Colorado, the dumbass, the Bronco that's friends with Papa John.
Oh, Peyton Manning.
Yeah. That motherfucker didn't get reconstructed in the United States.
No, hell no. They went in and they switched
all. He went to a country that recycles 6 days a week.
Yeah. That's true, man. You're right. Yeah, go
it's
fucking
so
there.
Bogus. And I, and then another thing, that goddamn tweet about how if people would just not buy an iPhone, they could afford health insurance.
Yeah.
Now, the device pay is only $33 a month. If they're going to give us full comprehensive health care for $33 a month, I'm in.
And they ain't giving us one of them. Give us one of the two. You know what I mean? Give us either health care or an iPhone or free iPhones, anything. They were mad because Obama was giving people phones.
Yeah.
Now they're like, no phones and no health care. This Republican health care plan, we might as well just go into it now. They're replacing Obamacare, which is bad.
This is their offer. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it.
Well, this one, did you see their penalty for not having health insurance?
Their penalty for not having health insurance?
There is a penalty if you don't have health insurance for 2 months in a row, and that's a 30% surcharge on your monthly rate for 2 years.
Okay.
That is also bad. Like, they just shifted the cost to another way. Actually, they shifted where the money goes. The money now goes to the insurance companies instead of the government.
Right. Yeah.
Holy shit. They are fucking. Are they going to be mad? Are the Trump people that wanted Obamacare repealed, are they going to be happy about this?
Well, I saw someone had did the math and said it was going to cost, like, the average Affordable Care Act recipient about $1,500 more. And that's a lot of Trump people, too.
I know.
Lots of lot of meemaws that got helped out with that Affordable Care Act. They didn't know. There's a staggering amount of people that thought the Affordable Care Act was separate from Obamacare.
Okay.
Like, Obamacare was death panels. The Affordable Care Act means everybody can get insurance, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
and, man. This is definitely catastrophic. I don't know if we should just plan. I think we should probably plan for something else after this. We're going to have to just seize those hospitals, because there's no way that this can work. I'm so confused. My insurance now costs as much as an iPhone every single month.
Getting a new phone.
Yes, it buys an iPhone.
But you don't want a new phone every single month. That's too much rare earth materials.
Yes, I don't need that. My phones are actually all hand-me-downs. Whatever my sister gets an upgrade, she gives it to me. She's also a nurse, sweet people.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I am really, I don't know, man. I don't like the payoff that the Affordable Care Act was still, you know, like that's the problem. That's what I'm getting pushed up against is like, so otherwise it would have just been regular old healthcare guys making $30,000 a day.
Yeah.
Humana still would have made $50,000 a day. Clark fucking Vermian or whatever.
Vermin. They're all vermin, pretty much.
Clark Vermin.
All insurance companies are vermin. Isn't when you call something vermin is like, that's when you, like you.
Paro. This motherfucker's a paro.
You fucking vermin. That is getting close to like genocide language when you call somebody vermin.
You cockroach. Yeah, I'm disappointed that we don't have anybody around that is willing to talk about just taking care of everybody. I mean, they didn't even, the thing that bugs me is they didn't even do like free market shit, like letting companies sell across state lines and stuff.
No, you know, they were like, no, you can't bring in drugs from Canada.
Yes. Yeah,
and their reason for that might not be safe. It's like, come on, Canada fucking is better than us. Really. We all look at Canada as better than us now. I don't think there's very many people who think that Canada's healthcare system's a nightmare anymore. Like, I think now that ours is such a nightmare that they're like, I don't know, man. I'd rather wait in line. And I'm waiting in line now. What is the fucking bonus to having non-government healthcare? It's fucking crazy, dude, right?
Oh, my God. I'm in a real fucking conundrum right now. Like, I just can't bring myself to do it because I've moved here to another town and I have to set up a doctor. And every time I call, they're like, well, we can get you a checkup in 6 months. And I'm like, I'm sick right now and I want to see a doctor.
How busy are these?
You're not our patient. We'll have to get a checkup in 6 months first.
It's because nobody wants to be a doctor either.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of doctoring that has to go on, I guess.
Yeah, a ton of it. We need a lot of doctors, but like people are just like, well, they always say, you know, now that people can sue the goddamn doctors all the time, nobody wants to be a doctor, which isn't true at all. People who want to be doctors want to be doctors, okay?
Yeah, I am like, so now I'm 2 months in. Like, if I would have just set up that appointment, I would be 4 months closer. And now I have to call and still set up like this 6 months appointment. And it's just driving me insane to the point where I can't get my family to a doctor.
It's true. It's a pain in the ass.
I'm going to call tomorrow. I have to because I got to start using this shit. I pay for it.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you, dude. Another big story this week. Not related to healthcare or heroin, which is usually our area of expertise. Really. Yeah. Well, being poor in heroin is what we're good at, is this controversy from South by Southwest Music Festival.
I love this.
This week. We got a big music story for our listeners. South by, they conceded now.
Oh, they did.
So, yeah, they have conceded. They had a controversial moment, which we'll read into now. Because I don't care that they conceded. They originally thought of it. Like, I still don't trust them. After days of blowback and artist pressure, Tuesday afternoon, South by Southwest pulled a massive 180 in its stance on the controversial immigration clause embedded in its contract for artists coming to perform at South by Southwest. Now, what the immigration clause was, they had an immigration clause that if you were an international act, and you were performing at an unsanctioned show while South by Southwest is coming on, which is, that's an Austin festival.
It is.
Right? And you're at an unsanctioned show in Austin at that time.
Right.
Then they would alert ICE to your presence.
Intense. Austin is really nice most times of the year, and they have a ton of music venues. And we even had have a friend that ran his own like record label. And he would always throw a show down there at South by Southwest.
But, I mean, why wouldn't you? That's wherever. That's like WrestleMania.
Exactly.
When WrestleMania happens or the Royal Rumble happens, all the indie promoters in the country, all the major indies in the country go and do shows right around where WrestleMania's happening all weekend. It's fucking genius. And WWE tries to shut them down.
Yeah, they'll walk into a hall and break up any custom action figures that have been made.
They will. They will.
I've heard of them smashing like custom merchandise.
That fucking is funny a little bit, but still evil. Like taking some adult's toy, just smashing it with a hammer. No, you will not have this fake stone, this off-brand Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So to get this, so to say this one more time, any acts, international acts coming to South by Southwest.
Doing what I'll be calling an outlaw show now. Any show around South by Southwest is an outlaw show.
Outlaw hootenanny. An undisclosed show. Doing a show that isn't contractually in line with the South by Southwest program, you get deported.
Whoo! That's some fucked harsh up. Business. Fucked that's up. Some harsh business. I'll say that. This reminds me of when we talked about how the company that does the cafeteria inside of Nationwide Insurance in Columbus, Ohio, the company that does the cafeteria there made it so they can't have food trucks out in front. They were like, nope, this is our fucking turf. We sell the food around here.
Yeah. I don't like this. This is too businessy for me. This is like when you're like, no, man, that's not what we're doing here. You know, I'm South by Southwest. I want to bring in this fucking killer act, and they found some other spots to play. I don't give a fuck.
I mean, South by Southwest doesn't just accept everybody that wants to play at it, right?
No. I mean, exactly. These people are like chosen. We're making music here. We're spreading music. We're not like. We're not contractually obligating people and then threatening enough money. With deportation?
There's enough money here for all of us.
Yes.
Right now. And like, what a tone-deaf thing to put in your contract.
So I mean, keep Austin weird. What the fuck is that about, man? But it can't be foreign, you know?
No. Weird, not foreign, okay?
Right.
All right?
Still, I'm like American weird.
Yeah.
Texas weird. Tough. Well, Texas and weird.
I don't think this is a reflection on Austin. This is a reflection on these music festivals.
Oh no,
these...
yeah. It's just, I mean, it's fucking jerk offs with slick back hair and a goddamn black t-shirt with a gray blazer
with the V-neck t-shirt with aviator glasses hanging off of it.
Yeah.
Just puffing on a fucking vape somewhere.
Running around and talking about deals and shit, taking Ubers everywhere and doing power lunch meetings and shit. Some fucking asshole that is like, no, we're going to get him. We got him. We're going to reunite Times New Viking, and we're making it happen.
Yeah.
I did it, man. Deal's done. ABC, like my hero always said.
We'll charge $75 for it, and it's going to be a huge fucking deal. We'll do some panels. Yeah. We'll do some rock and roll shows. We'll do some rap shows. We'll do it all. So
I'm the guy that got into Cedric Bixler Zavala's ear that said At the Drive-In needs to get back together now.
I told him, man, you're leaving a bunch of fucking money on the table, man. You're leaving piles and piles of cash on the table. It's like, you want to live your passion? Do you want to do the things that you want to do? Do you want to make 27-minute songs with bug noises in them? Then you got to do At the Drive-In too. That is what gives you the ability to do this.
Yeah, man. Legend. South by Southwest. I think they famously also turned homeless people into Wi-Fi hotspots.
I mean, that sounds like the type of people that would do this. And the fact that they've rescinded it.
Jerk-offs with Nerf basketball hoops in their fucking office.
Exactly. The fact that they like said they weren't going to do it now. Kind of
I don't give a fuck. Showed your colors, bro. It's like when someone goes too hard at you during a fight. And they just say some shit. We're like, you're fucking ugly as shit, too. And you're like, damn. I was just trying to say that those sneakers, I was just busting on you for always having new sneakers, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Somebody goes like, way in too hard. It's like,
shoot, I soured on you. You should have said the N-word.
What? That's fucking, yeah.
Yeah. It, like, you just got too crazy. You went too far, man.
Yeah.
What is this? Like, I mean, illegal people are cool as fuck. Why are we complaining? What's the problem? What is the issue here?
That if you're doing a show that's not a South by Southwest sanctioned show, that's an outlaw. That is something that only scum would do.
Well, it's
right?
One of them goddamn things where you can't just like you have to have everything on fucking paper. You know, they're just so neurotic about it and you can't just let people live and you know, share music and shit. You can't do it for a love of music. You have to do it for motherfucking metrics, you know? And it's like, well, we guarantee that we'll sell 1.014 more tickets if we were to outlaw some of these illegal shows that crop up around South by Southwest. And some fucking bean counter comes out there, you know, and gives us and gets a goddamn raise for doing that.
Yeah. And here's this that I want to read. The it's a Mike article. From the page, Mike. With the announcement of President Donald Trump's latest travel ban, South by Southwest would like to reaffirm its public opposition to these executive orders and provide ongoing support to the artists traveling from foreign countries to our event. Our event. Not if you're coming here from another country and you ain't involved with me.
Ice. You're getting iced.
You're getting iced. They agreed to remove the option of notifying immigration authorities if a foreign artist did anything to adversely affect the viability of an artist's official showcase, which applied to infractions as small as playing any of the coveted unofficial South by Southwest showcases, which take place during the weeks of the festival.
Slam the goddamn doors. I hate this. This ain't rock and roll at all, man. Yeah,
this sucks.
I know you can do goddamn hip hop. Rock and roll, you can do it on turntables, you can do whatever the fuck mashups you want, or indie bullshit, man. This is fucked up, man. We don't need all this. You don't need to involve all of this with a music festival.
I just feel like you don't even want to
start over.
Like,
figure
you don't
something else
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Only do outlaw out. Shows. Like, yeah, ever all the bands that we're gonna play, pull out and do outlaw shows in South in Austin.
Let's just make it so that everybody tries to book a show during that a certain period of time in Austin. Let's not hand it over to fucking dickweeds like this that wear, you know, $48 underwear.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, this is incredible. So the artists in town can't play other shows either. So they had things in there where they'll stop paying for their hotel. They'll it's so scummy. It's so fucking, like, why would you want to play with these guys now? I wouldn't be surprised if they were going to narc on you anyway. You know what I mean?
It's like, non-compete, man. Like, you're paying for me to come play for you that night. Like, I'm all yours. I'm all yours.
I'm going to put my heart and soul into the South by Southwest show.
Sell a goddamn Wi-Fi wristband that lights up whenever ASAP Rocky plays, and I will fucking be there when you pay me to be there to put a goddamn show on. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, too. Not all the bands would have ever pulled out. We talked about this last week, and I'm like, man, it's really cool if the bands pulled out, but there would inevitably be bands that say, no, man, I'm going to go there and make a stronger statement by calling them out on their turf.
Bullshit, man. Cheap-ass scabs, man. Cockroaches, again.
No, you got to...
No talent ass assholes sneaking in, taking jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music, man, it's got to be pure. It's got to be illegal. And it's got to happen every single night.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. You know, I would love to. Like, they only sell a finite number of tickets to their showcases. So let the other people that couldn't get in go to a cheaper show later on. That, like, why do they have to control all of the venues or all of the artists in this city? I hate this. I hate you, South by South. Like, fuck you forever. For fucking ever, fuck you, South by Southwest.
I promise that I still want a black turtleneck that's made from, like, organic cotton and a nice wool blazer and slick back hair. But I'm not going to be a jerk about it. Like, I would like to just do something fun and interesting. I'm not really worried about tying down what the artists are doing for the 72 hours before and after I've asked them to put on a fucking show.
Yeah, these motherfuckers also said it's so weaselly, their response. Here's the statement. Let's go to the statement, actually, and see what they said. Fucking South by Southwest.
SXSW.
Yeah, with the announce. Okay, let's get in here. Oh, jeez,
you're
Pete.
Losing it.
It's jumped. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, I'm going to scroll down, and then it jumps right before the thing. With the announcement of President Trump's latest travel ban, South by Southwest would like to reaffirm its public opposition. They underlined public opposition, by the way, with red. They're like, no, we're very against this. Don't get it. Because they
haven't they seen the memes? They're not friends with anybody that shares the meme that says, don't call ICE on illegal people. Because yeah. Those are readily available now.
Yeah. To these executive orders and provide ongoing support to the artists traveling from foreign countries to our event. To reinforce that stance, we would like to address the concerns regarding the language in our artist invitation letter and performance agreement for the South by Southwest Music Festival. South by Southwest will do the following. We will change all the language in our artist invitation letter and performance agreement for 2018 and beyond. Oh, next year.
Oh,
I think we'll do it
shit.
Next year. Don't play this thing, y'all.
Fuck off.
Just don't play this thing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is probably a huge opportunity for you. I feel it, man. As somebody who's trying to get there, who's trying to get to that making a life doing entertainment, it can be very tempting to do things that sell out principles. But man, I gotta say is like, That's in the contract,
that's
man.
That's bullshit.
That's in
you
the
can
motherfucking
get a show
contract.
In Austin, I'm sure. I mean, there's so many places to play in Austin. I don't think you need to have to be there for that.
Yeah, we will remove the option of notifying immigration authorities in situations where a foreign artist might adversely affect the viability of artist's official showcase. Safety is a primary concern for South by Southwest, and we report any safety issues to the local authorities. It's not South by Southwest duty or authority to escalate a matter beyond local authorities, which, by the way, it's not safe for an immigrant at your place. I wouldn't feel safe if I was somebody that might be undocumented. You know?
Yeah, man. This is just so unchill.
It sucks. South by Southwest sucks. Don't play it. Don't play it. South by Southwest. It makes you look like a Trump man.
A bootlicker.
It does. It makes you look...
That's fucked up.
If you're going to play a festival, you might as well get a job at the police, too.
A spiritually fucked up person. Like, everybody's everybody. Don't buy into the lines. Don't buy into that illegal shit. That's stupid.
Oh, man. I mean, you can't trust these people. You just can't. They'll just do it on the sly. It's like, okay, it's not in the official language, but hey, Austin, or hey.
Yeah, hey, Ice.
Hey, Caleb, can you go over there and just give them a call? And just give them a ringy-dingy-ding.
You know? Yeah, let them know.
Ice is going to be there now. They probably already had Ice on retainer, and they're like, please don't show up now. And they're like, nope, we
Ice
know there's a
huge,
bunch of
man,
people.
Ice are like the new, they are like
Nazis.
The troops, man. This
they're
is the Gestapos.
They're bad. I mean, I'm for real. I hate Ice. Like, boo to them is all I got to say.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right.
Well, that's a bad guy's just, job right there.
I know,
that is like, what that is. Ice is a bad guy's job. Do they wear black uniforms? With
I think so.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Do they wear the Darth Vader mask?
I know. I keep reading the stories, and I'm like, that's really fucked up that you did that, though.
Ice like, seems Nazi. Doing? Like Woo. Ice is scary. That's one I don't like. Oh man. So on to a lighter note. Celebrity. I guess we'll do this music story that I liked because you know. Street Fight is also a show that's a lover of the scam, the carny, the flim flam man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like high, like Bernie Madoff, it does impress me a little bit,
no,
actually.
Cool.
I was going to say he doesn't impress me, but it impressed me. Like he
well,
just played on people who had a bunch, he saw people who had a bunch of money and he was like, I'm fucking handle it. I could get some of that. Well, I could shave off a little from all of them.
Well, the cool thing is, too, that if you can get $100,000 from somebody and then you can take that and get $200,000 from somebody else and then give them back like $300,000. You know what I mean? Like you just keep getting more money to give to people down the chain. They feel like you're helping them out financially.
Yeah, you got to feel invincible to do something like
yeah,
that. But,
yeah, yeah, it's a lot of work.
But I prefer a lower level. Of con man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I...
Day-to-day living con.
I am. I like the person that sells me the speaker. I like person that like...
Someone's just looking for $40 to stay at the motel tonight.
Yeah. And so here's this guy. I mean, this touches my heart. And I know other stories like it. A man in Port St. Lucie, Florida was arrested Tuesday, February 28th for allegedly impersonating Nickelback drummer Daniel Adair. The imposter, 45-year-old Lee Howard Koenig, used Adair's name to order $25,000 worth of microphones from a company in Vienna, Australia. He then had them shipped to a Florida address.
So, like a cash on delivery thing?
I think he paid with his money. Like, he just, used the guy's name and was like, check it. I am the drummer from Nickelback. I'm Daniel Adair from Nickelback, and I'm interested in your microphones. I'd like to try them out, reminding you that I'm in Nickelback and I can afford them.
Right, right.
I think was the scam. But I have a soft spot in my heart for people who do things like this. I remember sometime in the early 2000s when Slipknot was like kicking up a lot of dust.
The maggots were going wild.
Well, yeah, and they had huge issues with people saying they were Slipknot because they wear masks.
Can't really prove that. Yeah, that's a hard one.
That's a good scam, right? That is a really good, like, picking just, it's like, people
that practice the Corey Taylor voice in their bedroom a whole bunch would go to a bar and do it, and they'd be like, I don't know, man, you sound like it.
I use a lot of pedals, too. Let me remind you, I use a lot of pedals. And, you know, the jumpsuit's flattering. I'm built exactly like him. Most people won't argue with you because they want the experience of meeting, like, the drummer, of being in contact with the drummer for Nickelback.
He was in here, man.
Even people that don't like, if you met somebody from Nickelback, would you brag about having met somebody
I would love to meet someone. I would party with someone from Nickelback all night, man. I would love it. I would be grateful.
I'm with you. It's a good story. It's just like, fuck it, you know?
It's fun.
Yeah. I knew a guy that met the singer for Nickelback. Fucking a guy that performed. He only played bass. He wasn't the singer. He fucking performed a Nickelback song with his cover band in front of the lead singer at Nickelback. Wow. He told me that fucking story, and I was like, that's fresh, man. I'm in.
That's a lot of guts.
Yeah.
Gigantic balls. He's sitting on those balls like it's a hippity hop.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't trying to show off or anything. That was when you're in a cover band. When you're in a local cover band, you just have to play all the most popular songs. You don't get to pick what you play.
Yeah, I know, but I would skip that one over. I wouldn't sing somebody else's song to him.
Oh, dude, I would look him right in the eyes while I was doing it.
No, I don't have. I could never ever go out and do somebody else's set.
Like, what? Not just
go perform someone else's comedy set to him.
We could do that though as like a gimmick. Be like, hey, we'll come to your house and we'll perform
somebody else's special.
Yeah,
we're like do a budget version.
We'll do Bill Burr's special.
You can see so for $3.99 a month, but I'll do the Bill Burr special for $10.
Yeah, you pay me $100, I'll come to your next party and do the whole Bill Burr special, the whole last Bill Burr special in live and in person with the microphone and everything. It'll be great. You just have to learn them all. It's a fucking genius idea. Yeah. Write that down.
It's just like remembering song lyrics, dude. I mean, I did it all the time when I was a kid.
It is. That's fucking. I heard you can make tons of money in a cover band. Like, I know guys that were in cover bands that just like cover bands with names like, you know, SOULED, like sold. Like, we're sold, man. Like, sellouts, because they felt like sellouts being in a band. But they also were like, we got sold, dude. We're just doing this to fund our Foo Fighters sounding band for later.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that we have a problem with people that do set their sights too high. Most people are only thinking about being like the Michael Jordan or whatever it is.
The Nickelback of the music industry, yeah.
But there is a lot of people that do like a job or, you know, live very minimalistically and just play the hits for people that need to hear the hits on the weekends live in person.
I'd fucking love that. Right when we were in Chicago, we were right down the street from a Howl at the Moon saloon. And they used to have that in Columbus. And what that is two guys have a piano and they just do all these fun piano songs, and they're kind of, you know, everybody sing with me, and they tell jokes and stuff. And man, when I was like from 19 to like 23. That was the most amazing thing I ever saw in my life.
Some Elton John?
Yeah. Yeah. It just was like, man, you're yelling stuff out with them. Hey, it's having a good time. And really, those guys were making a living as a musician.
Yeah. I mean, and that's satisfying. A fantastic show, too. Yeah. People are having like the greatest time.
I know. I know.
It's like, the only people that aren't in entertainment make fun of being like a cruise entertainer. Oh. It's like, I don't know if that's, I mean, it's not a career maybe, but it's a hell of a good time. It's a good story. It's a great way to live your life for some time.
I know. If somebody offered us a cruise ship, I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, I think I will do that.
I would do a goddamn stint as the Beast from Beauty and the Beast down in Disneyland.
Oh my God!
Get like a 2-year contract, like the goddamn troops, man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I just, you know, there is this idea that you have to be the most special, and it's like you can do something that will be rewarding and doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get chased down at the airport.
No,
you know?
No, but it's cool still though, man. I mean, you get to go, you play at the bar all night. You can drink, you probably get free beers. That's the best thing.
Instead of being a goddamn dope that just goes there and cries into the bar, you're the person that plays Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
You play War Pigs for people that need to hear War Pigs.
Exactly. And you know, that is the thing too, because like we got drink tickets at Township in Chicago. They gave us free drink and half off food at this bar. And it's like, I was going to work. Like I was getting in there and they're like, hey, you need to loosen up with some drinks.
Well, I feel bad for you because it's like that payment doesn't do anything. Like that just meant I got four drinks.
That's good though, man. I mean, hey.
That does make the show better.
Hey, if Brett can get beers, that's fine. I got two big things of water. They treated me right there.
Yeah, they gave me the swing top bottle.
They should give free food.
Township like any was of great.
You, any of you places that any of you venues, man, I'd love your free food since I can't drink your alcohol.
True. Train them in for a discount.
Yeah, I love this though. I just reiterate my love for people who pretend to be famous people to rip the companies off.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. Very hip thing to do.
Yeah. That's how we should have got our microphones. Who do you look like? Who do we look like? Is there nobody. Anybody we look? Oh, we can figure something. Do we look roughly like anybody?
I look like a guy on Pinterest, like a Pinterest model.
Then we'll just be like
a boot model. I'll just say I work for like a Red Wings or something.
Like, have you ever seen the success memes? Those memes where the guys are like,
yes, in talking. Suits.
Yeah, that's I'm that guy. I'm
I
him.
Can do that too.
I'm the
a lion doesn't have a pack.
And yeah,
and that would just be me in a suit, and then we could just email somebody and try to get free suits.
I'm Dan Bilzerian. You can say you're Dan Blizzarian or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah, I'm Gavin.
He'd be
Guinness,
like, Have you seen the memes where the guy tells you that most people spend time in the club, but you spend your time in the bank? Like, are you that guy?
Yeah, that's the route I would go for. I mean, if I'm trying to get some free stuff.
Yeah. So to close the show out this week, I got an excellent submission from a listener that I am just now bringing up here. And it's an amazing Reddit. It's Reddit. I don't ever look at Reddit. Right? Like, so this is...
I spent some time there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me go to Twitter and find out who it is. But this is a huge... This is a woman asking for some advice, Brett. And we'll get you the name. Oh, they removed it.
No.
Oh, no.
It was too good.
It was too good. This woman was having troubles because her boyfriend, 28-year-old man... Right.
Okay.
He's believing too many conspiracies, right?
Yeah, it's tough.
She's like, shit, man, my boyfriend, I mean, I love him. He seems like a good guy.
I lost him.
But he believes even the dumbest conspiracies. And they even included that she the straw broke the camel's back was like, dude, he's starting to say that he thinks the earth is flat. And this person's ready to leave. At that point.
Some people aren't brave enough to think that big.
Yeah.
Some people aren't cut out for that type of thinking. I understand it.
What do you do when that happens? Like if you were with a, well, you would just go down the hole with a, me too. Me and you are so unhealthy that if my wife started to believe the earth was flat, I'd believe the earth was flat in the next 6 months. Like, yeah, you got some good points. You got some good points over there.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm super codependent in that way as well. Is that if she convinced me, I'd be like, you're one of the smartest people I know. You make all the money in this house. So I kind of, like, I'm betrothed to you. So, like, I kind of can see what you're saying.
So this relationship between these two people, not meant to be.
Went sour. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's also, that's not any time to give up. I mean, that's when my relationship, big relationship in my life ended about that time. So I think people find themselves in a big way when they start getting towards 30 and they're like, I'm tired of everybody having a goddamn globe in their office, you know? I'm tired of going into my boss's office and seeing a fucking globe, you know? And, you know, you got to find a chick that's down for that, too.
Yeah. I don't know, man. My wife has gone through a lot of shit, and I think if I went flat earth, she'd support me in it.
Sure.
She'd probably, like, honestly, she'd probably call me stupid, maybe even in front of my face.
Sure.
If I just went full on, but like she was absolutely disgusted to find out that somebody she knew didn't believe in gravity, which is weird because he just doesn't believe in the word.
Right.
Like, I mean, gravity is obvious and we have to use a word to describe it unless it's God's will. I would go with God's will.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, what's pushing us? What's pushing us down onto the earth? Is it this made-up fart that happened in a Big Bang a million years ago? Or is it God's will that's pushing us onto the earth so that we can keep playing on his flat playmat that he put out for us to do tests for him?
It is a great playmat, man.
I love it.
It is.
This test. This is a good test. I'm enjoying this test. I'm getting a lot out of it. Yeah, actually, that's true. You know, there was actually a funny thing. Pizza Roll Call, who's a great follow on Twitter, if you don't know him, he mentioned that he was had the thought that he was proud to listen to Street Fight WCRS because he thought that we wouldn't ever get caught sending out unsolicited dick pics.
That's probably a good, because I'm afraid to look at my own dick, really. I'm that weird.
I practice radical monogamy in that I cannot give up now because it's like having cheat codes. When you keep having sex with the same person, you can get to like level 50, like real quick. You know, there's no feeling out thing. So I have advanced to a higher level of sexuality by focusing my attention on one person. I can't give it up. And I was a real bad cheater too. I was a super bad cheater before, but my wife was the first time I was like, no, I can't, not going to do that.
Yeah, I wasn't. I've been with my wife since I was 19. I'm a one woman man.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
You hitched your wagon.
Yeah, she rules. I'm cool with her. We get along real well. I don't know how many more people would want to be around me. That as much as she is. You know what I mean?
And even especially, if you believe the earth was flat, you're right.
Yeah, she would. She wouldn't go anywhere if I said the earth was flat. She'd be like, I'll look into it. Okay.
Yeah, I'll see why you think that.
Yeah.
I can probably understand this philosophically.
She'll ignore it. She would ignore it. That's the type of thing. She'd be like,
That's true. That's old school.
Let's not talk about the shape of the earth anymore. You talked about a documentary that you watched where it was just like, yeah, maybe we just won't talk politics anymore.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. There was a good documentary on Hulu about a woman that lost her father to right-wing news, starting with like Rush Limbaugh in 89. A guy that was kind of open-minded all of a sudden started going on these screeds about like feminazis and diversity and shit. And the mom was just like, we just don't have to talk, I guess. You know, we don't have to get into any in-depth conversations, man. You can get yourself there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lucky that she stuck around. I mean, most of those guys just end up alone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
that's it,
man. I think that's it. I don't know, man. Is that the show? Because I got one more story here that somebody told me about, and I wanted, let's get that in.
Okay.
And then in the show, because we only did an hour, man. They want the hour 15, dude.
That's true. They want the long.
They're used to a little bit more than an hour. we're going to give you a little bit more than an hour. But in Portland, Oregon, here's a follow-up on an older story. This is from February 28th, so it's one. The news is 1 week old. But we were in Chicago last week, so you got to let us slide on deal being with late with stuff. On Saturday, almost 200 fellow workers from the SEIU Local 49 marched on the Convention Center Burgerville and demanded that corporate reinstate Jordan.
Jordan's back, baby.
This is the best news. I want Jordan to get his job back.
Make him the manager. Give that motherfucker a franchise. That's what we need.
This dude cares. Wouldn't you think that Burgerville corporate would be like, dude, this guy cares so much passionate about Burgerville.
Make him a part of employee relations. I feel like he has a good idea of what people want.
Yeah. I love him. He's inspired the shit out of me, man.
He got set up on a bagel charge. For those of you that are new, what happened to Jordan was he worked for the Burgerville and was asked for a bagel with cream cheese. And his boss at the time said, here, take it. It's pretty busy right now. I can't ring you up. Jordan's taking his break, eating his bagel. Week down the line, man, the district manager or somebody else is talking to him about this bagel that he supposedly stole, and his fucking snitch manager, once again, another vermin.
Covering his back. First of all, we know for a fact.
I didn't say he could have that bagel.
They're tracing the shit out of them bagels, though. You know what I mean? They know. They know RFIDs to the bagel. Yeah.
Yeah, the bagels somehow get by the managers, and that is the fault of the employee, which is bullshit, you know? Like, I feel like you got to get rid of the captain of that ship. He let a bagel slip by. Get rid of the fucking manager.
Yeah, whatever happened to the manager being liable for these sorts of things? Here's the thing. This thing is written so well. We should read this, entry from itsgoingdown.org. I got this from the new Thoreau on Twitter, but... listen to this, Brett. This is amazing. Local 49 members took over the store and submitted hundreds of Jordan applications while the store was filled with the call to bring back Jordan. SEIU Local 49 just served corporate Burgerville a fresh, local, and sustainable platter of solidarity.
Yeah, oh yeah. Tastes good. That's crunchy, baby.
Afraid of the power of workers and the community standing together, corporate Burgerville hired a team of private armed security guards to intimidate us.
No! What are you doing?
Burgerville.
Capitulate, you dummies.
This is going in totally the wrong direction for you, Burgerville.
All you had to do was bring back a guy that you fucking sent out on his ass for a goddamn 65-cent bagel.
It's principle
dummy,
now.
Dummy, think about it. Think about it, Burgerville.
They're locked in a labor fight with this thank you to the IWW and the SEIU, but really, you wobblies out there, you're keeping this going. That's fucking incredible, man. Like, hey, we can't all win, but somebody's going.
That's true.
Somebody is out there fighting every single day. Like, I would love, let me know if this happens in Columbus, and I'm fucking there, man.
Yeah, we did in a previous episode as well about somebody that worked at a Walmart in Canada and was told to, their manager told them they could use a pair of gloves off the shelf and they ended up getting fired for it. And I've seen it myself. I mean, it happens. This is a common story.
Yeah.
Where the manager fucks up and just is like, we have like a whole drawer full of applications, so I'm not going to stick my neck out for you.
Well, this Jordan's an agitator anyway. Jordan, that's why they won't hire him back.
Stand up here. And this is who you're going to be. Who are you going to be, kids? We got a lot of young folks here, and I know you feel tough and radical and all this shit because you're in college, but like... I'm 33, Brian's older than that, and a lot of you won't stick to it. And only folks that have a constitution like Jordan's are the ones that will make it through all of this and live that fully realized lifestyle. You don't let somebody fucking treat you like that.
I always wanted to go...
make a mess of it all.
I mean, every time I ever got fired, I'd be like, can I look into wrongful termination suits? Like, I always was trying to get... Yeah, I always want to drag them through the fucking mud and just irritate. Like, anytime I can do that to a company is like, yeah.
We need to find a way to pay some lawyers to stay on the clock and do some some legal activism cause some problems.
Yeah, well, we could do it too. We could really like. I'm saying,
I can stand on top of a milk crate and yell inside of a fast food restaurant.
Well, that's our role. And like, if we were on the West Coast, I would already been at one of these Jordan actions because I want to. If this happens here,
It's just indicative of like everything that happens at work, like in these type of environments. This is it. This is the problem. This is the crux of everything at this point.
I mean, this is a labor.
Example, there's a million other examples, but this is a really blatant one. You know?
It's hard to see. I don't know. It's hard for me to. You don't see a lot of the labor fight news. Like, it's a specialized part of the news now. It's not in your face. You have to follow labor news.
Yes, it's a niche news source.
Yeah, to know where it's
CBS
coming from.
And ABC don't cover it.
No, hell no. And I want to see more about what is happening, people fighting for labor rights, because.
And this is, I mean, it may cost more money, you know, you may think it may cost more money to have a union in your shop, but if they were just to say, hey, we're going to cause a problem unless you forget about this 95-cent bagel that you lost, I mean, it's a lot cheaper than dealing with this, you know?
Yeah,
a company that, like, this Burgerville isn't some, like, old-school oppressive-ass shit. This is new age, like, we name all the cows that we kill and all of the oats are whole grain on all of our buns.
And that's why they're doing this too.
It's healthy, fresh. They supposedly give a fuck. They give a more of a shit about the goddamn chickens that they're slaughtering than they do the people that are serving it up.
That is good though, that we can attack these businesses at least. Like, even though like businesses that do have a happy face, I've seen people try to unionize those and business is like, no, never mind. We can also get very like Ronald McDonald can frown too. You know what definitely. I mean? He doesn't just smile.
No. I mean, they've been very good at it. There's just these other operations where, we have to just be moving in a different direction. There's nothing else to expect. There's no reforming this.
No.
Like, the conditions are fucking bad. So either we expect better conditions than getting fired over a 95-cent bagel, or we just keep dealing with less and less year after year.
And work isn't going to get better unless we fight for work to get better. Work is bad because, like, we don't have any recourse at all. We don't have anything that we can do except for strike or except make a fucking mountain out of a molehill. Like with Jordan, it's just like, if that's what inspires a bunch of people, if that's what inspires 200 people to show up to an action, then fuck it, man. That's the action I'll go to. It inspires the shit out of me. A regular working person getting fucked over inspires the shit out of me, really.
Yeah, it's garbage.
I like that big rat. Maybe they'll let us have that big rat, Brett, and we'll just take it around to businesses.
DC had a big rat.
That big rat
was everywhere.
Yeah.
Dallas had a big rat, too.
That Republican convention that the Defending the American Dream Summit that Kushbaum and I went to, there was the big rat was outside there, too.
We need to get a fair trade, like union-made rat inflatable that we can sell in the store. That might be another way to go.
Like one of those, one of the ones like the cheating Christmas decorations, people with the fan.
Yeah, with the fan built in. With a fucking little 20-watt fan built in.
We can make that, man. Yeah. That probably doesn't cost nothing to make. Well, no. Yeah, that's true. But, I mean.
Well, that's where your Patreon dollars will go towards.
That's cheating. That's so cheating. Those Christmas decorations and Halloween decorations piss me off now.
I know.
They get such a pop, and it's no work at all.
No.
The kids will pop like crazy for them, though. It's like the Undertaker walked out.
And they're doing
something.
It for different. I mean, there's probably going to be. I'm sure there's going to be some inflatable bunnies in somebody's yard for Easter.
I know. You can just do it for all the holidays
and shit.
This dude was taking credit for in Lyft. I was driving. This dude was taking credit for how cool his yard looked, and it was just like 15 Christmas themed SpongeBobs.
Yeah, like you got an inflatable Charlie Brown globe. It's fucked up. I mean, I agree. Like when I was a kid, the Incredible Houses were like these psychos that went out there in the cold and like stapled down a billion lights, you know, and made. They would take some chicken wire and put the lights on it to make a snowman. They wouldn't just take 20 cents worth of Taiwanese polyester and fill it full of air.
Infuriates me. It fucking infuriates me. People think they're festive now. They can just buy festive, you know? Yeah. Yeah. just fucking sucking down electricity. Just, it's a SpongeBob SquarePants.
It is.
A fucking.
We like SpongeBob better than we like light. Oh, we know SpongeBob. I wear a shirt with SpongeBob on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm bored. What's that? Jeez, baby who? Hey, No, I got Patrick and SpongeBob playing sleds, having a snowball fight out here.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. There's no Irish ones, though. That would be nice.
You know, I've seen a lot of conservative Irish groups fighting about appropriation.
I mean, do it.
Yeah, go for it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
and I hate how everybody pretends like they're Irish on St. Patrick's Day. It drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, you have to go after everybody. And you can't just trust because they have like a Irish harp or clawed a tattoo that they're the real deal. You got to do like the DNA.
No, yeah, I'm not. I mean, I think I have some Irish in me, but I'm not like, I don't get misty-eyed on St. Patrick's Day. Like, I know people in the past that were like, it's St. Patrick's Day, I really feel my heritage this day.
The only thing, and this is all, I think this is made up, but my grandma's maiden name was Kelly. And I never saw any side of her family until she died. This guy came over and he had like bright red hair. He was like horseshoe bald, bright red hair with a red nose. And he was just crying all about it. And all my dad said after he left was like, oh, they were all a bunch of drunks anyways. That's why your dad wouldn't let him hang out.
Oh, it's Charlie Kelly.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know what my actual heritage is. I just know the hateful heritage.
Man, I'll tell you what, people go crazy for St. Patrick's Day where I live. There's like a Irish bar called Burns.
Yeah.
And like they put two tents outside. I mean, it's good for them. They got a day where it's like Black Friday.
I've even seen people mention on Facebook and stuff like, nobody in our family is Irish. Like people that have like a shamrock tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, they don't like have the a shamrock, Irish they have stuff. A four-leaf clover, you know?
Yeah, they just like the Irish shit. That's just, they're into the whole thing.
I want a culture. Like, there's no other cultures available.
Yeah, Italian. Italian people love being Italian, though, too.
Yeah, but you gotta, I mean, you have to be Italian to get into that club.
No, hey!
How many people are jumping in? I don't know, I don't think even people are like, you can sidestep into Irish, I feel like. Like, that's one that anybody can put on and kind of
I said I was at a period in my life when I was at probably my peak of my dad powers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I was, like, maximum dad, I'd be like, yeah, I'm Irish, man. You know, I don't really celebrate this, but, you know, I think about it all the time. Okay.
I did the same, actually, because I remember being at a BW3 getting quarter wings and ordering Guinness. Like, when I was 21, just able to do it. It was just like, hey, you know what? It's March, and, you know, I feel like this is part of my heritage. You know, when I was a kid, I saw that really drunk uncle of mine. And, like, why not?
I'm glad I don't care about my heritage at all. Like, I don't have any. Well, I guess I do in a way, but I'm like my own thing. You know what I mean? I feel like everybody that came before me was like British, basically, in my family. And then my parents accidentally turned me into a redneck and screwed up the bloodline. You know what I mean? Now it's like everybody that comes after me, it's like the Quinby was a distinguished name in the past. And now it's like he yells out Kid Rock when somebody says Detroit.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of, man, there's just no culture to grab onto. I mean, if you're raised on like corned beef and cabbage, like that, and you're Catholic and shit, like
I hated that shit.
I know Irish folks like that, but I think the people that are sidestepping, and there isn't a lot available for us. Like, no. I feel like that's the white culture, is that like we
mayonnaise. You know,
like, mayonnaise, but that's not our culture. We love it and we put it in our ranch, our salads.
Ranch.
We mix it up with any noodles and black olives that we can.
But ranch like, too.
Yeah, ranch. But like, we don't have, like, no one is raised, even if you have German, I have German heritage, but my parents didn't make schnitzels and shit.
Or they didn't even care about being German. There was no schnitzels. They were like, eat a fucking hot dog, idiot.
Yeah, there was we never said Pog Mahone and had corned beef. We never.
But you were proud to be German.
Potato stew. Like no, I mean,
when you were in school, you took German classes though. You were like, I need to know German.
They make you. Well, actually, they make you. You're right. School is the most. The biggest provoker of that. They make you go home and ask your parents where you came from. Shit. I don't think we would have ever talked about it. Otherwise, like we didn't put on lederhosen or anything.
Right. I think they made me do the same thing.
You know, but like, okay, so my Macedonian side of my family was super lit though. Like they made Zelnik and did shots of weird liquor and like made all kinds of baklava and shit. Like they were super into being Macedonian.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nobody in my family's into being they're not even into being together with other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know them enough. It's like my family, like I think that's the whole bloodline was just like, let's just not talk to each other. Okay.
Yeah, we're stuck with that. I mean, no, that's where
find somebody else to talk to that's not in your family.
There's these people that need to watch Boondock Saints and feel like they have some sort of like blood connection to it.
Yeah.
Like when they hear them say those Irish poems or whatever, like they want to be like, oh yeah, Samhain Hall calls during the All Hallows Eve, you know?
Yeah. I like to think that we could pull it back one notch.
Yeah.
I guess in my neighborhood, it's really wild on St. Patrick's Day. Like, people are just stumbling all over the place all the time. There's, like, three pubs there. Three Irish public houses. And just people... I mean, people fall asleep in your front yard, man. It's a fucked up day.
Yeah. It's a fucked up day. I had to stop a fight on one in Dallas. Like, two little 22-year-old babies are out there screaming at each other, getting too close. And it's like, and we can't ignore this. Like, you're fighting in the middle of our fucking courtyard, you know? Yeah. Like, stop, you know, separate and do something else, man. You guys are amateurs.
Cinco de Mayo gets wild too, though, now. Yeah. Too. I mean, every year, my wife gets excited about Cinco de Mayo. She's fucking Irish.
I like Cinco de Mayo, man. Tequila is great. It's one of the best liquors, really. I think that. That's why. I mean, there's no other liquor holidays. You get Jameson.
Fourth of July is a huge deal for me.
Okay.
That's every year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it just is at the end of the day, as anti-American as we are, we're also super we personify a lot of it, or at least like the values that I thought that I saw, which was being like completely selfish and, you know, into, fantastical cool shit, you know, blowing things up.
On the 4th of July is one of the 4 or 5 days a year that I get high during the day, and I just get high all fucking
freedom,
day,
baby.
Right?
Freedom!
And then at the end of the night, I try to get too high and then go see the fireworks, and it's incredible. They're beautiful. I love fireworks.
Man, we've one time smoked that Black and Mild. You repacked a Black and Mild, and it fucking rained, and we stood under a tree, and I watched fireworks through the rain, and I was disconnected from my body. Like, that was, like, when I felt like I weighed, like, nothing. That's when I was kind of like, man, this consciousness that is here, like, thinking and everything, it has to stick around after I die, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, I felt like I was not, I just felt like I was like, I was synapses.
Yeah.
And I was just, I was getting soaked and watching the water drip, but also seeing fireworks, and it just tripped me the fuck out.
The thing about weed that's so fucking interesting, like, the weirdest thing about weed is that, like, you can smoke just a little bit of it, and like go to the grocery store and have a really good time. But you can also smoke like a little bit more.
Yes.
And go to another fucking planet like you're on acid. I know. Almost.
Yeah, I do that regularly. That's what I do. I mean, I do vaping, like a light vaping, not like all day long, but just puff on it. But if we're doing shows and stuff, I'm smoking it, or I'm eating a copious amount of it. It's cool in that way.
It rules. All right, man, we're done. We did it. We're done. We're gonna do two more shows this week, you're gonna get probably, or something like that, you know, whatever. There's always fucking shows coming out. Just know that
there's tons of shows. Apparently I didn't think people want to hear this many shows. It's a lot of shows. We can't go anymore. I never wanted to be like a comment every single day type person.
No,
like,
I need time off. We're good now. I mean, the third show is also like something where, you know, I can do screwy stuff. We can do weird shit. You know what I mean? And that's good to have every week because we're weird as hell.
Yeah, I think that works. If you want to find out more of what we do, head to StreetFightRadio.com. It's the central hub. Click on the support tab. You can get links to our PayPal donation. You can get linked to the Patreon website. That's how you can support what we're doing here. Every single month, we're putting out live videos, whether it's in Washington, D.C., Chicago, or coming up in Pittsburgh. Those of you that are monthly supporters of us, you get access to that stuff immediately before anybody else. You can even get the zine sent to you in the mail. That's exclusive writing that's not anywhere else online from lots of really cool people. Lots of great art from people like Secret Awesome and Dan the Undying. Really cool shit that, I mean, you're going to want to be a part of. It's why you're, you know, better than all of your coworkers, is that you know where the cool shit is and you found us. I think I'm most excited. What I like about meeting people is that we have like a lot of brilliant folks that listen. I think that's what makes me the most happiest.
Like, but no, I never get to talk about socialism in my everyday life.
Right.
So when I meet people and I talk about being an anarchist, a socialist, and they're like, oh, me too. It's like, what the? Hey.
Yeah, it was a really great vibe. I don't know all of the names of everybody was there, but the fellow that shared an amazingly floral joint with me behind the building. And then we went to the back after the show and talked for a while. It was incredible, man. It's exactly the type of shit I'm trying to be involved with, having fun with folks that are ready to do something more and have the time to do it. So thank you for tuning in. I hope that we can keep this going for as long as possible. We plan to do so. If you want to find me, I'm on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. I'm at Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN. The name is the same on all platforms. Brian's over on Twitter, at Murder Brian, where he does his best work. Find us, follow us, or Street Fight WCRS on the other channels as the show. We'll see you soon. Peace. Cause I'm taking fix. Before you jump, let's know exactly who you getting at. Fuck that, take the whole fucking thing back. It was never they shit, we made it. Word to the slave shit, fuck that. Y'all whack and y'all hate it. Fuck that, y'all wanna bust, we gon' bust back. If it's time, then it's time, nigga, fuck rap. I don't write raps or bust gas. I don't got the time to fucking play with y'all punk ass. Curry with the three, Draymond when I dunk that. Shout to Cleveland, but it's still fuck Cavs. Brian, you a legend, but puff pad. High school, I used to cut class. But you know your boy nothing but class. Hey yo, fuck that. Whatever you talking about, fuck that. It's a war outside, it always was that. If it's time, then it's time, nigga, fuck rap. And then they mad, cause I'm sick of it. When I stop the cap, and then they mad, cause I'm staying fixed. Before you jump, let's know exactly who you getting at. And then they mad, cause I'm staying fixed. And then they hate when I stop the cap. And then they mad, cause I'm staying fixed. Let's know exactly who you getting at. Must I remind niggas all in their grind that one time is trying to hit you with some serious time. And they ain't even got to show you with a nickel or dime, cause some nigga you been knowing when to drop the whole dime. Just a lesson is time. Man, I could just trust a nigga call his homeboy slime. And I'm the opposite of that bullshit, cool quick. Back on that Adamville killer bullshit. Fucking right, I get hostile. I'm trying to get it like a Rothschild and live pop wild. Fuck a bloodsucker, house nigga, nut sucker. I never loved him and I fucked that nigga baby mother. A motherfucker, you ain't never shit and never was a. Probably count a nigga that'll snitch on Harry Tupper. So keep your business to yourself and keep it undercover. One time, I holler, brother. And then they mad cause I'm staying fixed. And then they hate when I stop the cap. And then they mad cause I'm staying fixed.